Three men entered the room from the kitchen. Two of them wore shoes. One was eating a saltine. The one with no shoes was also bare-legged up to his knees, so that below his robe his spindly legs could be seen. They were smooth and hairless and very brown from the sun. A large tattoo had been applied to his left calf. He was from California. All three wore old church robes from the same choir, pale green with gold trim. They came from the same store as T. Carl's wig and had been presented by him as gifts at Christmas. That was how he kept his job as the court's official clerk. There were a few hisses and jeers from the spectators as the judges ambled across the tile floor. They took their places behind a long folding table and faced the weekly gathering. The short, round one sat in the middle. Joe Roy Spicer was his name, and by default, he acted as the Chief Justice of the tribunal. In his previous life, Judge Spicer had been a Justice of the Peace in Mississippi, duly elected by the people of his little county, and sent away when the feds caught him skimming bingo profits from a Shriners Club. "Please be seated," he said. Not a soul was standing. Spicer looked at the docket, a neat hand-printed sheet of paper prepared by T. Carl, and said,
"Court shall come to order."
To his right was the Californian, the Honorable Finn Yarber, age 60, in for 2 years now with 5 to go for income tax evasion. A vendetta, he still maintained to anyone who would listen. A crusade by a Republican governor who'd managed to rally the voters in a recall drive to remove Chief Justice Yarber from the California Supreme Court. The rallying point had been Yarber's opposition to the death penalty and his high-handedness in delaying every execution. The recall pitched him onto the street, where he floundered for a while, until the IRS began asking questions. Educated at Stanford, indicted in Sacramento, sentenced in San Francisco, and now serving his time at a federal prison in Florida. In for 2 years, and Finn was still struggling with the bitterness. He still believed in his own innocence, still dreamed of conquering his enemies, but the dreams were fading. He spent a lot of time on the jogging track alone, dreaming of another life.
"First case is Schneider versus Magruder," Spicer announced as if a major antitrust trial was about to start.
"Schneider's not here," Beach said.
Hatley Beach was the third member of the tribunal. He was 56, the youngest of the three, and with 9 years to go, he was convinced he would die in prison. He had been a federal judge in East Texas, a hard-fisted conservative who knew lots of scripture and liked to quote it during trials. He'd had political ambitions, a nice family, money from his wife's family's oil trust. He also had a drinking problem, which no one knew about until he ran over two hikers in Yellowstone. Both died. The car Beach had been driving was owned by a young lady he was not married to. She was found naked in the front seat, too drunk to walk. They sent him away for 12 years.